On Tuesday's front page, the aftermath of Hurricane Irene. Communities in Vermont and in upstate New York struggled to open roads and find stranded residents. Inland flooding may turn out to be the storm's biggest impact. We'll look at Germany's extreme energy makeover and a lesser Las Vegas, where the casinos have a new marketing strategy. I'm James Barron. All the news that's fit to podcast begins right now. Our top story says Hurricane Irene did serious damage inland. The worst problem seems to be river flooding in Vermont and upstate New York. Southern Vermont is digging through thick mud and debris that the floodwaters left behind. Roughly 250 roads and a number of bridges are closed off, leaving many residents stranded in their neighborhoods. Times reporter Abby Goodenough says some of the symbols most closely associated with Vermont also sustained damage.
I've heard of at least three covered bridges that have been destroyed. And yeah, people are horrified about that. People are deeply sad about that. These are bridges that are hugely important to the tourism industry here, but also just symbols of this pastoral, quiet, kind of old-fashioned life that many Vermonters have chosen. People are just really surprised, even though this is a state that's used to flooding, that's used to flash floods because there's so many little mountain streams and brooks and rivers that quickly swell. People say it's funny because it didn't feel like that much rain considering how fast and furious things flooded, and they just haven't seen anything like this in Vermont.
Times reporter Abby Goodenough. In upstate New York, houses were swept from their foundations and flash floods continue to be a concern. Governor Andrew Cuomo says the hardest hit places are communities that could least afford to pay that kind of price. He said the state has its hands full. The New York subway was pretty much back to normal by the end of the day on Monday after being shut down over the weekend. Commuter railroads also rumbled back to life. Airlines resumed flying in the Northeast, but snarls remain. Many passengers are trying to rebook into a system that's already packed with pre-Labor Day travelers. Also on Tuesday's front page, Algeria said it had let in some of Colonel Muammar al-Qaddafi's relatives, including his second wife and three children. As for Qaddafi himself, his whereabouts continue to be unknown. Times reporter David D. Kirkpatrick says Qaddafi's relative's departure is another sign he's lost control in Libya.
On the streets, things began to edge back towards normal. The main border crossing with Tunisia has opened up. Supplies are flowing in. Doors have begun to reopen. You see more people and even taxi cabs on the street. There is still no water, which is why I haven't shaved. Power supplies are also short. But many Tripoli residents who had fled in anticipation of a bloodbath at the end of the Qaddafi government are returning nonetheless, and they say they're very happy to be back.
Times reporter David D. Kirkpatrick. Germany is bracing for blackouts after shutting down half its nuclear reactors practically overnight. The German government took 8 reactors offline soon after the tsunami and earthquake that crippled the Fukushima Daiichi plant in Japan. Later, the German parliament voted to close the reactors permanently and retire the 9 other reactors in Germany by 2022. That has electric companies scrambling. Consumers are nervous about whether their lights will stay on this winter. Manufacturers are worried their assembly lines will stop. Chinese demolition crews have torn down 30 privately run low-cost schools in Beijing. The government says it's stamping out unsafe school buildings. But school administrators and parents say the bulldozing was an exercise in population control. Official statistics show a third of the people in Beijing are migrants from China's rural areas. Their numbers have grown by about 6 million in the last 10 years. The numbers are a concern for the Chinese Communist Party. It's worried that large urban slums could turn into breeding grounds for social unrest. Prim, Nevada used to be a lesser Las Vegas. True to its name, Prim doesn't have the glamour and glitz, and its one casino operator even filed for bankruptcy back in 2009. Now it's betting on marketing to Latinos from Southern California. It has Nevada's first Spanish-speaking card tables, and it brings in big-name Latino entertainers. Casino Vice President Jay Teal says people used to say things like, that's a demographic that doesn't gamble. He says he looked around and realized that's who was there. For weeks last year, until Stephen Hayes got the death penalty, Connecticut was captivated by testimony about the murders of a mother and her daughters in Cheshire. A second defendant goes on trial next month. Times reporter William Glaberson says this trial could be even grimmer. The reason is defense lawyer Jeremiah Donovan has a scorched earth strategy. He's already attacked the first jury, the judge, the media, and even the one victim who survived. Inside Tuesday's Times, more than 250,000 classified diplomatic cables were available online after a new release by WikiLeaks. The cables include the names of sensitive intelligence sources. Since late last year, WikiLeaks had been releasing small batches of cables after taking out the identities of activists, academics, and others who'd spoken candidly to U.S. diplomats in authoritarian countries. This time, the names weren't taken out. An attack in Tel Aviv left a police officer injured and 8 Israelis hurt. It began when a Palestinian man from the occupied West Bank hijacked a taxi. He drove it to a packed nightclub and ran over the policeman at a security checkpoint. Then the man got out and stabbed several bystanders. The police called the attack an act of political terror. The Palestinian Authority condemned it. It could be goodbye to the International Space Station if engine problems that doomed a Russian cargo rocket last week aren't diagnosed and fixed. The astronauts could abandon the space station by mid-November. 6 astronauts are there now, 3 Russians, 2 Americans, and a Japanese. NASA manager Michael Suffredini says the agency will do what's safest for the crew and the space station. That's our preview of Tuesday's Times. For a look at all of these stories, go to nytimes.com. You can send your comments about the Front Page Podcast to podcasts@nytimes.com. That's podcasts with an S on the end at nytimes.com. I'm James Barron. Thanks for spending this part of your day with us.